Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the short waves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. I am Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Walter Danesi, we'll be bringing you this show in English of RAE for Monday, July 1st, 2024. As usual, we'll have the news, sports, music. Today, we'll share with you a feature on one of the most important tango singers of all time, Roberto El Polaco Goyeneche. Roberto the Pole, or the Polish Goyeneche. Not because he was born in Poland, but because people who are blonde and have blue eyes, like Goyeneche had, were nicknamed Poles, because actually the majority of people with those characteristics in Argentina 100 years ago were from Eastern Europe and they were nicknamed Poles. So therefore, Polaco Goyeneche earned this nickname because of his physical appearance, but he had nothing to do with Poland at all. Also, we're going to be sharing with you a documentary. It's actually a journalistic report by Associated Press that was released back in 1974 on the occasion of the death of Juan Domingo Perón, three times president of Argentina, iconic figure of this country, key political figure of Argentina, who died exactly 50 years ago on July 1st, 1974. And there is this English language feature on Perón's death from 1974, I guess it was released a few days after his death. So it has that tone of the early 1970s. And it's a very interesting historical piece that we wanted to share with you on the airwaves of RAE this Monday, July 1st. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrae@gmail.com, or you can also send a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then, of course, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way, it's okay for sending reception reports if you are at the EXA. And let me remind you that this show is aired via the short waves of WRMI on the frequency 5850 kHz, and also via internet on rae.com.ar, and also via our app for mobile devices that you can download for free. It's available for both Android and Apple cell phones. All right, folks, let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. The Organization of American States renewed its support to Argentina's Malvinas claim. The Argentine government condemned what it called an attempted self-coup in Bolivia. Uruguay, presidential candidates for the October 27 elections were chosen in primaries. Argentina, President Javier Milei announced a project to lower the age of criminal responsibility to 13. Sports, Ecuador tied with Mexico at the Copa America and will be Argentina's next rival in the quarterfinals. And these are the news. The Organization of American States renewed its support for Argentina's claim to the Malvinas Islands. The OAS General Assembly adopted by acclamation a declaration on the question of the South Atlantic Archipelago. The resolution insists on the need for Buenos Aires and London to resume talks on the sovereignty of the Malvinas Islands. The goal, the OAS reiterates, is to find a peaceful solution to the dispute. The Argentine Foreign Minister, Diana Mondino, was at the meeting of the Continental Organization held on Friday in Asunción, capital of Paraguay. In this context, the minister expressed, "I want to highlight the long-running solidarity of the Americas and thank the permanent support in the Malvinas question." And she remarked that the passage of time has not eroded the legitimacy of our claim and the solidity of our rights remains intact. Mondino highlighted the conviction that this long-standing controversy must be resolved through dialogue, and she recalled that none of the UN resolutions on Malvinas has ever included any reference to self-determination. The foreign minister was referring to the British government's argument for refusing to negotiate. The government of Javier Milei described as false the denunciation of an attempted coup d'etat in Bolivia. In a communique, the Casa Rosada expressed that the story was not very credible regarding the version presented by the government of the Bolivian president, Luis Arce. According to Buenos Aires, this conclusion was reached based on intelligence reports. The Argentine executive branch also took the opportunity to criticize the political orientation of the administration of Mr. Arce, who belongs to the leftist party MAS, Movement to Socialism. According to the government publication, historically, socialist governments transform into dictatorships, quote-unquote. Last Wednesday, let's recall that troops and armored vehicles surrounded the presidential palace in the Bolivian capital, La Paz, for several hours. Mr. Arce denounced an attempted coup d'etat by the head of the rebellion. General Juan Zúñiga accused the president of orchestrating a self-coup to boost his popularity. The denunciation of the former army chief was endorsed yesterday by former President Evo Morales, once an ally of the president and today a fierce rival. President Arce responded to his predecessor and ex-mentor on social networks, "Don't take the side of fascism that denies what happened." President Javier Milei revealed that he sent to Congress a project to lower the criminal age to 13. He did so during an interview in which he confirmed an initiative was submitted with the goal to establish a new juvenile criminal regime. If he has the conscience to commit a crime as an adult, why shouldn't he pay as an adult? He who does it pays for it, Mr. Milei told TN News Channel. Currently in Argentina, minors under the age of 16 cannot be criminally prosecuted. The modification of this flaw has been on the public agenda in Argentina for some time. The primaries for the general elections to be held in Uruguay on October 27th were held yesterday. According to results, Álvaro Delgado will be the ruling party's candidate to succeed President Luis Lacalle Pou. Meanwhile, Yamandú Orsi will be the hopeful of the leftist Frente Amplio of former presidents José Mujica and Tabaré Vázquez. On the other hand, Andrés Ojeda won the nomination of the Colorado Party. After the internal election, Delgado said he was proud of Lacalle Pou's administration and asked for the vote to ensure a second government of the National Front. Meanwhile, Orsi said after winning the bid of the Frente Amplio, "We must banish the idea that whoever wins crushes the other, and I propose to unite Uruguay." And now, sports. Argentina's Faustino Oro became yesterday the youngest chess master, of all times at only 10 years old. The boy surpassed the mark held by American Abhimanyu Mishra and historically achieved by legends such as Bobby Fischer and Anatoly Karpov. Oro won the title by defeating yesterday Chile's Fernando Valenzuela in the Masters tournament held in Barcelona. The young chess player born in Buenos Aires thus reached the 6.5 points required to reach the master grade. Faustino has been undefeated in 31 games and has already beaten the number one in the world ranking, Magnus Carlsen. He started playing chess just 4 years ago, during the pandemic. With his family, he moved to Spain to perfect his technique and train. Meanwhile, in the Copa America, Ecuador drew goalless with Mexico and qualified to the quarterfinals. In that instance, they will face reigning champions Argentina next Thursday in Houston, Texas at 1 a.m. UTC time. Also for Group B, Venezuela defeated Jamaica 3-0, closing the zone with three victories and consolidating its position as the revelation of the ongoing continental tournament. The Venezuelan team will now face Canada in the quarterfinals. And these were the news on RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE.
A little bit of music and then we'll have a feature, a report by AP Associated Press on the death of Juan Domingo Perón, three times president of Argentina, the founder of the Justicialist Party or Peronist Party, and a key figure is unavoidable in the analysis of Argentina's political, economic, social situation of the past 70, almost 80 years. And he passed away exactly 50 years ago. This feature that we'll be putting on the air was produced and released by AP a few days after Perón's death, back in 1974. But before that, let us enjoy a little bit of tango with Osvaldo Mederos and Comilfo.
Thank you.
Argentine 面向世界。
Rai, Argentine vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
Rai, Argentina al mondo.
La Rai, Argentina al mondo.
Rai, Argentinian in die Welt.
Rai, Argentina al mondo.
Grief and hysteria in Argentina. This was the scene in the capital, Buenos Aires, after the death of President Juan Domingo Perón. Thousands of young Peronistas filled the city center to chant the old political slogans in tribute to their dead caudillo. For many, the sense of loss was deep and personal.Juan Perón was arguably the most powerful political personality the Western world has produced since the Second World War. In Argentina, he was a legend long before he returned from exile last year. He generated a fanatical support among the great majority of Argentinians who had boundless faith in him and his abilities. At this rally, his last public appearance only 3 weeks before his death,Over 100,000 people acclaimed his decision not to resign over the country's continuing political violence. The burden of leadership now passes to the dead president's widow, Maria Estela, popularly known as Isabelita. Only days before her husband's death, she had announced, as vice president, her takeover of all executive functions.Now she is president in her own right, the first woman head of state in Latin America, a position of eminence not even attained by Perón's first wife, the legendary Evita. Perón was first elected president of Argentina in 1946. From the beginning, he drew his support from the great mass of underprivileged Argentinians.The descamisados, or shirtless ones. For many of them, he was an idol, the first Argentinian leader who really did something for the common man. Perón did not rule alone. He shared both his popularity and even some of his power with his wife Evita, a former actress whom he married just before he became president.Despite his adulation by the masses, Perón was often a ruthless president, crushing opposition and ruling through the army, the police and the labor unions. Evita, too, had a will of iron behind the charming smiles and exerted considerable influence over Perón himself. Perón brought to Argentina a new sense of national identity,and a new political creed called justicialism, an ill-defined ideology which he claimed was a third way between communism and capitalism, and which favored the workers against entrenched oligarchs. In 1952, Evita died of cancer at the age of 33. Millions of Argentinians, especially the poor, had revered her as a saint.Quite apart from their gratitude for her tireless efforts to improve social welfare for the workers, they felt she belonged to them, and her funeral was the occasion for the biggest display of mourning ever seen in Argentina. Perón's position was never the same again, and 3 years later, he was toppled from power by a military coup.His portraits were burned, his supporters killed, and he was forced to flee the country. But though his 9-year rule was over, his philosophy did not die. After 5 years in various South American countries, Perón finally settled in Spain, where he lived a quiet life in a suburb of Madrid. Though rarely seeking publicity, he kept in close touch with events back home. His third wife, Isabel, acted as an efficient secretary and was sent on several missions to Argentina and elsewhere. In Argentina itself, the workers refused to let Peronism die. The memory of Evita especially was cherished down the years, hardly an anniversary of her death passing without some kind of official recognition from the unions or the active justicialist party. Every year, Perón promised he would return, and in 1964 he actually made an attempt but was turned back when he reached Brazil. Such tactics, though apparently futile, gave encouragement to his supporters, many of whom constantly made trouble for the governments that succeeded Perón after 1955. In the 18 years that preceded Perón's return, Argentina experienced almost continuous political unrest, and in the later years, widespread guerrilla insurgency as well. In 1969, hundreds of demonstrators were killed in riots in Cordoba and Rosario, and successive military regimes found they couldn't cope with the resulting mass alienation and unrest. Many individual generals and admirals became figures of widespread public contempt. Their political failures were matched by economic ones, and by 1971, they were clearly weary of governing. They looked for a way out and saw only the shape of Perón. Under a policy known as the Great National Accord, preparations were made for a return to civilian rule, and Perón was given back his citizenship and passport. He was also allowed to visit Argentina in 1972. Had he returned in August instead of September, he could have become eligible as a candidate in the presidential elections of March 1973. But he deliberately chose not to do so, as an act of independence against the military government. Instead, the Peronist cause was represented by Hector Campora, whose slogan left no one in any doubt. Campora for government, power to Perón. He won the election easily.
Estaba preso y que no aceptábamos, habíamos ya tomado los recaudos legales y que por supuesto íbamos a hacer la denuncia a la opinión pública por intermedio del periodismo.
Security was intense for Perón's first visit to Argentina for 17 years. His hotel by the airport was literally an armed camp, surrounded by hundreds of troops equipped with everything from tear gas grenades to machine guns. But when Perón finally returned home 6 months later, it was a very different story. The military refused President Campora's request for more troops at the airport, where 2 million people awaited the great arrival. When it was announced that Perón's plane had been diverted to another airport to ensure his safety, shooting broke out between rival Peronist factions. About 100 people were killed and 500 injured. The bloodbath was an inauspicious, but as events were to prove, not inappropriate homecoming for the aging caudillo. At 77, Perón looked fit, alert and confident. He slipped smoothly into the role of unofficial president presumptive. Within 3 weeks of his arrival, President Campora had resigned, and within another month, Perón and his wife had been accepted unanimously as justicialist candidates in the September elections. Although the violence that accompanied his return showed that the divisions in Perón's movement were very real and deep, all differences were momentarily forgotten in the heady atmosphere of the election campaign. When the results came in, they confirmed what everyone had predicted, a landslide vote that gave Perón and Isabel outright victory on the first ballot. It put the Peronistas on the streets in a crazy night of celebration. As a final touch to his rehabilitation, Perón appeared in military uniform for his inauguration. He'd been stripped of his rank in 1955, and had it reinstated by the last act of Hector Campora's presidency. But for Perón, the time for bravura was over. As president, he now had to act. Was he the man to unite the nation and stop the slide towards anarchy? The months preceding Perón's election had been marked by innumerable examples of lawlessness conducted by a variety of extremist organizations, most of them left-wing and outside the justicialist movement. But even inside the movement, there were clashes between rival factions. Any hopes that Perón's assumption of power would somehow miraculously put an end to scenes like this in Córdoba were quickly dispelled. If anything, the violence got worse, not better. The new government moved against left-wing organizations, claiming that the violence they continually provoked could lead to a civil war that would cost a million lives. But Perón's appeal had little effect. Bombings, shootings, and kidnappings became almost daily events. The targets for these bomb outrages were often foreign-owned firms, especially American companies, which the left-wing guerrillas saw as manifestations of imperialism. But even worse were the politically motivated assassinations, whose number and frequency reached alarming proportions by the end of last year. This man was a personnel manager of the Fiat Motor Works in Córdoba, one of 30 victims murdered by terrorists in the first 8 months of Perón's rule. Another victim was Rogelio Correa, a labor leader on the right of the Peronist movement, who was gunned down in his apartment in Buenos Aires 3 months ago. He was a former president of the nationwide trade union organization which supported Perón in his years of exile. His murder was the fourth in a single week. Not all the violence comes from the left. There have been 3 attacks on Socialist Workers' Party offices, and 6 Communist Party headquarters have been hit. 3 men died in this attack, and 6 people were kidnapped. One pattern to emerge is the kidnapping of foreign businessmen to raise ransom money to finance further guerrilla activities. In this warehouse in Buenos Aires, police uncovered the largest private arsenal ever found in Argentina. It belonged, police said, to the ERP, the People's Revolutionary Army. On the same day the arms cache was discovered, the ERP announced it had received $18 million in ransom money to free an American oil executive, and that the money would be used to finance guerrilla activities in 4 other Latin American countries. It was clear long before Perón's death that he was unable to heal the divisions in Argentine society, or indeed even in his own political movement. He was being forced to move more and more to the right, despite his assertions that Peronism was basically a left-wing movement. The time has come, he told his supporters, to stop shouting Perón and to start defending him.
Y en lo que se refiere a las posibles modificaciones del gabinete.
It would be difficult to imagine a worse situation for his widow to inherit. The power struggle within the movement is likely to intensify now the leader has gone. To meet such an emergency would demand a political maturity and experience which few people believe Señora Perón possesses. The big question now, of course, is will Peronism itself wither away? It survived an 18-year vacuum when its leader was exiled, but can it survive his death? Much of the movement's dynamism was generated by the personal contact between leader and led. That relationship has now been broken forever, and the result may be the end of a unique political epoch for Argentina.
Rai RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
That was a super interesting piece that, as you could notice, was released just a few days after Perón died exactly 50 years ago, July 1st, 1974. As the AP report was anticipating, Isabel Perón, Perón's third wife and the vice president, wasn't prepared to deal with the situation that she was inheriting from her late husband, and the situation definitely deteriorated under her administration, and it resulted in her being ousted in March 1976 by a military regime of which we've spoken many times, that was the most brutal in terms of human rights violations this country has ever seen. But that's a different story. It's also interesting to share these historical pieces without the information of what happens afterwards, because they give you the context and they provide some additional information that can help you understand the context of the era. No, a journalistic report made at that time, rather than a documentary made in the present. It's an actual historical archive file that we wanted to share with you. From 1974, produced by AP, Associated Press, on the death of General Perón, that you can check out on YouTube. Look up for it. Perón's death, AP, 1974, July 1st. Let's enjoy now a little bit of music on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. We'll have more music in a minute, because a feature on tango singer Roberto El Polaco Goyeneche is coming up. But before that, let's go across the Rio de la Plata to visit our neighbors and brothers, Uruguay, who, by the way, are doing so great in the Copa America under Argentine manager Marcelo Bielsa. And they are, for many, the favorites to win this trophy, maybe together with Argentina, the reigning champions. But Uruguay are doing fantastic. And from Uruguay is Alfredo Zitarrosa, one of the most important singer-songwriters from Uruguay and from Latin America as well. And this is perhaps his signature tune called Doña Soledad.
Soledad, póngase un rato a pensar. Doña Soledad, ¿cuántas personas habrá que la conozcan de verdad? Yo la vi en el almacén peleando por un bistec. Doña Soledad, y otros dicen haga el bien, hágalo sin mirar a quién. ¿Cuántos vintenes tendrá sin la generosidad? Doña Soledad, con lo que pueda comprar el pan y el vino nada más. La carne y la sangre son de propiedad del patrón. Doña Soledad, cuando Cristo dijo no, usted sabe bien lo que pasó. Thank you. doña Soledad, yo le converso de más. Doña Soledad, y usted para conversar hubiera querido estudiar. Cierto que quiso querer, pero no pudo poder. Doña Soledad, porque antes de ser mujer ya tuvo que ir a trabajar. Mire, doña Soledad, póngase un poco a pensar. Doña Soledad, ¿qué es lo que quieren decir con eso de la libertad? Usted se puede morir, eso es cuestión de salud. Pero no quiera saber lo que le cuesta un ataúd. Doña Soledad, hay que trabajar, pero hay que pensar. No se vaya a morir, la van a enterrar. Doña Soledad.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, mien xiang shi jie.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina to the world, presents Roberto Goyeneche, the great narrator of tango. The most famous tango singer of the last decades, Roberto Goyeneche, was the embodiment of a unique style in which the spoken word prevailed.
Barrio de Belgrano, Caserón de Texas. ¿Te acordás, hermano, de las tibias noches sobre la vereda? Cuando un tren cercano nos dejaba viejas, raras añoranzas bajo la templanza suave del rosal.
Roberto Goyeneche was born in 1926 in the neighborhood of Saavedra in the city of Buenos Aires. And there he grew up and lived all his life. He belonged to a modest family of Basque origin. His father had a little store and he was an amateur pianist. The family included several uncles, one of them a bandoneon player. Since his father died when he was only five, Roberto had to start working at a very early age to help with the support of the family. He loved the memories of his family, his neighborhood, and the football club he was a fan of, Platense.
In Saavedra, casa de mi abuela, de mi madre.
I was born in Saavedra and my grandmother's house. My mom's name was Maria Elena and my dad's Emilio. I have a brother, and let me tell you that 99.5% of my childhood was a happy time, very happy time. Life was different. We shared everything.
Se compartía todo.
Revivió, revivió en las voces dormidas del piano y al conjuro sutil de tu mano. El faltón del abuelo vendrá.
To collaborate with his family, Goyeneche dropped out from secondary school and started working as errand boy for a lawyer's study, where he would later become an administrative. He had also other jobs. He worked as mechanic, bus driver, and taxi driver. And always, always, he sang. And although he never pursued musical studies, he liked to say he sang before he was born. And tango, during his time, was quite trendy.
A metros de lo de los Goyeneche.
Meters away from the Goyeneche's house, there lived a bandoneon player and conductor of an orchestra integrated by musicians of the same neighborhood. Roberto started his career as singer with them. For them, the music was an everyday enjoyment. The local orchestras, like today's rock bands, were to be found at every corner. And since he was a child, Goyeneche felt the tango influence. He was surrounded by tango. And from his early years of adolescent, he practiced the tango lyrics that brought fame to Gardel, Magaldi, Corsini, and Charlo, published in the magazine The Singing Soul. The repertoire also included his uncle's compositions, among them, the tango Pompas, that Gardel himself had sung before.
Compuesto temas para Enrique Cadícamo.
bebeta de mi barrio, papa papusa, que andas paseando en auto con un bacán, que te has cortado el pelo como se usa y que te lo has teñido color champán. En los piringundines de por aquí bueyes bailas haciendo cortes de cotizón, y que a las milongueras pa' darles dique al irte con tu camba batida.
Roberto Goyeneche launched his artistic career singing with the different orchestras of the time. Until in 1944, he was the winner of a contest of tango singers organized at a club, and whose first prize consisted in singing a whole season with the orchestra of Raúl Caplún. Goyeneche was still underage and received the prize through his mother, only after Caplún himself promised to put the young singer on the bus back home once the performance was over every night.
Era más blanda que el agua, que el agua blanda. Era más fresca que el río, naranjo en flor. Y en esa calle de estío, calle perdida, dejó un pedazo de vida y se marchó. Primero hay que saber sufrir, después amar, después partir y al fin andar sin pensamiento. Perfume de naranjo en flor, promesas vanas de un amor que se escaparon en el viento. Después, ¿qué importa del después? Toda mi vida es el ayer que me detiene en el pasado. Eterna y vieja juventud que me ha dejado acobardado como un pájaro sin luz.
When Goyeneche turned 18, he left his job as a mechanic and started driving a bus, and later a taxi an uncle of his gave to him. Simultaneously, he sang every night with Caplún's orchestra. After getting married, and in order to support his new family, he stopped singing and took to bus driving. Yet, after some time,
los pasajeros que transporta Goyeneche,
the passengers on Goyeneche's bus had the privilege of listening little by little his rendezvous with tango. Polish drove and sang. Justo José Otero, Horacio Salgan's representative, heard him one night while Goyeneche was driving the bus, and he immediately told Salgan. Shortly after, when there appeared a vacancy in the orchestra, they went after the bus driver, and after a thorough search, they found
him.
Milonguera bullanguera, que la vas de alma de loca, la que con tu risa alegre despertas el cabaret, la que llevas la alegría en los ojos y en la boca, la que siempre fueras reina de la farra y el placer.
Goyeneche's participation in Salgan's orchestra left very valuable recordings such as Anat's Soul and Let the Carnival Go On, among others. It was there that he was baptized with the nickname The Polish. Due to his fair hair, he would stay with Salgan until 1956.
La sonrisa de tus labios dibujaban quebrada y una entrevista lágrima turbada como una perla de tus ojos fue a rodar.
In 1956, the Polish joined Aníbal Troilo's orchestra to stay until 1963. The Polish's performance with Troilo was decisive in his career because it offered him a repertoire that would accompany him until the end of it, and also gave him a very respected name within the tango world. We will listen to Goyeneche now recalling his first meeting with Pichuco, the nickname under which Troilo was known.
Y yo estaba cantando con Salgan.
I was singing with Salgan. Pichuco comes in just when I started singing, and the people forgot Salgan and Goyeneche and started shouting, Pichuco, Pichuco. Then, on the microphone, I said, stop it, silence. Troilo also asks people to shut up and sit down. When I finished singing and climbed down the stage, Troilo got hold of my arm and told me, Pibe, I have to talk to you, because I'd like you to come to sing with me. I did not take it seriously, but as a way of retribution or excuse for what had just happened. And the time went by until Zita, Troilo's wife, told him one day, you know who my favorite singer is? A fair-haired boy that sings with Salgan. And then and there, Pichuco comes, but to listen to me.
Le dijo al gordo, mira, mi cantor, ¿sabe quién es mi cantor? Este, hay un rubiecito ahí que canta.
Lástima abandonar mi corazón. Tu ronca maldición maleva. Tu lágrima de ron me lleva. Así hay hondo bajo fondo donde el barro se subleva. Ya sé, no me digas tener razón. La vida es una herida absurda. Y es todo, todo tan fugaz que es una curda nada más. Mi confesión.
The registrations made during this period became classics, such as The Last Bouge and The Drizzle.
De frío, el viento trae un extraño lamento. Parece un pozo de sombras la noche, y yo en las sombras camino muy lento. Mientras tanto, la garúa se acentúa con sus púas en mi corazón. Y en esa noche tan fría y tan mía, pensando siempre lo mismo, mi abismo. Y por más que quiero odiarla, desecharla y olvidarla, la recuerdo más. Garúa, solo y triste por la acera, va este corazón transido con tristeza de tapera, sintiendo tu hielo, porque aquella con su olvido hoy le ha abierto una gotera, perdido, como un duende que en las sombras más la busca y más la nombra, y garúa, tristeza, hasta el cielo se ha puesto a llorar.
¡Corre!
de que en la sombra más la busca y más la nombra. Garúa, tristeza, hasta el cielo se ha puesto a llorar.
Although Goyeneche felt comfortable with the orchestra he was, it was Troilo himself who helped him develop as a soloist. And he was right, only that it took him some time. In 1967, finally, Roberto Goyeneche registered his first record as a soloist with the orchestra of Armando Pontier. As from then on, he would register with different orchestras, many of them especially integrated for him.
Un pedazo de barrio, allá en Pompeya, durmiéndose al costado del tren. Un farol balanceando en la barrera y el misterio de adiós que siembra el tren. Un ladrido de perros a la luna, el amor escondido en un portón. Los sapos redoblando en la laguna y a lo lejos la voz del bandoneón.
His career as a soloist started consolidating, but also his style, which would finally rank him among the best interpreters of tango. And not exactly as singer, but as narrator. Composer and pianist Attilio Stampone says. Goyeneche's style is created by himself, little by little, as from the moment he becomes a soloist. That's to say, that original phrasing that makes him unique in the genre, the control of the time, of the rhythm. The Polish had his own phrases, better than most musicians. I believe that the Polish is the opposite of Gardel. Because when listens to that voice, I'm convinced there is no other voice as beautiful as Gardel's in the world. And he is the great tango singer. Why? The Polish is the opposite. Because the Polish tells us tango stories rather than sing them. And he tells the story as no other tango singer ever did.
Como no la ha contado ningún cantor de tango.
Estás desorientado y no sabes qué trole hay que tomar para seguir. Y en ese desencuentro con la fe, querés cruzar el mar y no podés. La araña que salvaste te picó, ¿qué vas a hacer? Y el hombre que ayudaste te hizo mal, dale que va. Y todo el carnaval gritando pisoteo, la mano fraternal que Dios te dio.
Eclectic, modern, mediatic. Roberto Goyeneche succeeded in surviving all those years that tango was démodé. He announced his retirement several times, overcome a surgery in the vocal cords, and even under a diagnosis of emphysema, he kept singing and singing. Regained popularity in 1988 after a role played at the film South of Argentine filmmaker Fernando Pino Solanas. Thanks to that performance, the tango as a musical genre regained interest among the young generation.
Quisiste con ternura y el amor te devoró de atrás hasta el riñón.
Throughout his career, he's recorded almost 50 records and his registers are permanently selected for new re-editions or anthologies.
Amargo desencuentro porque ves que es al revés. Creíste en la honradez y en la moral, qué estupidez.
Roberto Goyeneche, the Polish, passed away in 1994. He was the last representative of the Bohemian tango interpreter.
vuelve siempre al amor. Vuelvo a vos con mi deseo, con mi temor. Llevo el sur como un destino del corazón. Soy del sur como los aires del bandoneón. Sueño el sur, inmensa luna, cielo al revés. Busco el sur, el tiempo abierto y su después. Quiero el sur, su buena gente, su dignidad. Siento el sur como tu cuerpo en la intimidad. Te quiero, sur. Sur. Te quiero.
Argentina to the World presented Roberto Goyeneche, the great narrator of tango.
Vuelvo al sur, como se vuelve siempre al amor. Vuelvo a vos, con mi deseo, con mi temor. Quiero el sur.
Production, Julieta Galván. Edition, Julián Carballo. The Voice, Miriam Turcula.
Siento el sol como tu cuerpo en la intimidad. Vuelvo al sur, llevo el sur. Te quiero, sur.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
Let's go over the headlines quickly before signing off. The Organization of American States renewed its support to Argentina's Malvinas claim. The Argentine government condemned what it called an attempted self-coup in Bolivia. Uruguay, presidential candidates for the October 27 elections were chosen in primaries. Argentina, President Javier Milei announced a project to lower the age of criminal responsibility to 13 years old. Sports. Ecuador tied with Mexico at the Copa America and will be Argentina's next rivals in the quarterfinals. Thus, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior in English. The sound technician was Walter Danesi and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. Thank you for listening. Hasta mañana.